Hi everyone, I'm David. I support Gen X Grown Up on Patreon, and you should too. Don't you want to keep this great content coming? So you know what to do. Go to genxgrownup.com/Patreon and just do it.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown up?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be French fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown Up podcast listeners, to this, the Backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown Up podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, of course, is Mo. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Wouldn't be a show without George. Howdy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Before the days of streaming and DVDs, live television was the only game in town, and our favorite shows were regularly interrupted by commercial breaks. Now, back then, they either were an annoyance or a chance to go grab a snack, but over the years, we've grown fond of those vintage ads. So in this backtrack, we look back at some of the most memorable TV commercials and campaigns from our youth. So before we get into that, I think this is going to be a fun, light episode of just listening to some cool old commercials and what we thought of them. I bet listeners are going to have email they want to say, the ones we missed, the ones we didn't talk about the right things, but absolutely, that's what it's all about. So I can't wait. Before we get into that, though, it's time for some fourth listener email. Look, there's three of us. The expectation is we'll listen. If anyone else does, you are our fourth listener. And the fourth listener this episode is Jonathan S. He dropped us a line. The subject was choose your own adventure books. Backtrack we did not too long ago. Well, it kind of was a while ago. It's been a year or two now, I guess. Man, time flies. Dang. Here's what Jonathan has to say. Greetings, John, George, and Mo. I'm going to pause here. George, you weren't last.
I wasn't last.
Yeah.
I wasn't first, but I wasn't last.
there's always glass half empty
according
with this guy.
To Ricky Bobby, if you're not first, you're always last.
That's true.
I've heard that too. I've heard that. I thought maybe you'd find that encouraging, but I guess not. Greetings, John, George, and Mo. As I'm working my way through the Gen X Grown Up back catalog, I came across your Choose Your Own Adventure Books episode. As we mentioned, I was happy to hear George mention the Lone Wolf books.
Oh, yeah.
I read all these books in junior high and early high school. The main story was 12 books long, and there was also a spinoff based on The Wizard that was four books long. Was it? Did you know about that one too, George?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There was also a compendium that was not sold in stores, but could be mail ordered, which I ordered. It had maps, an Orc English translation guide, and a mini adventure.
Wow.
Did you know about that one?
I did not.
Yeah, I didn't either. Jonathan says, I had kept all these books until I was married when my wife said we needed to get rid of extraneous items.
Oh.
Listen, so you left your wife.
Yes.
That's what I'm assuming.
If she says, let's get rid of extraneous items, we're going to say, well, here's your bag. Come on. This is my toys. Quit that.
Terrible.
Anyway, I'm just kidding, Jonathan. I'm sure your wife is delightful, other than making you throw away your cool stuff. He says, I donated all those books to Goodwill. Then about 2 or 3 months later, I learned that the aforementioned compendium was very rare and could fetch a nice price. I checked out the local Goodwills, but of course, I couldn't find it.
Yeah, somebody's like,
right. They're like, oh, I've been dying for this my whole life. Yeah, too bad. He wraps it up by saying, after hearing the episode, I searched for Lone Wolf and saw that the author, Joe Deaver, had died a few years ago, but his son has continued and expanded on the series.
Nice.
That's cool. Thanks for the trip down memory lane, Jonathan. Awesome. Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. That's the point. If you got a trip down memory lane, then we're doing our job, as we say, right? That's what we're trying to deliver for you here on Gen X Grown Up. And plus, you shared some stuff with us that even George, who was the Lone Wolf expert, didn't know about.
Yeah.
Now, he's literally typing, looking on eBay for the compendium. He's probably already looking for it right now.
He's probably seeing how much it costs, money. Too.
Right. That's the most curious thing. So, hey, we appreciate that you wrote in. We love it every time the fourth listener takes time out of their day to drop us a line. Let us know what they thought of an episode. If you would like your email featured here on the show, it's drop dead easy. Just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. We read every single one. And most of them, just like Jonathan's, will eventually make the show. Okay. With that good business behind us, we're going to jump into this, the very first backtrack of 2024, right after this break. Stick around.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Califato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world. all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later. If you are even a casual listener to the Gen X Grown Up podcast, you likely know that in the commercial breaks, we'll often put in, always put in, vintage commercial segments in between our segments because it's changing channels. It feels nostalgic. And we've gotten probably a dozen emails specifically about the commercials. Like, that's fun. I remember that thing. That was cool. And so at some point in the past, somebody said, hey, have you guys considered just doing a whole episode about those old commercials? So in this episode, I'm not going to put commercials in the breaks. We're just going to talk about them here in the body of the episode. Just remembering some of our favorites. Now, we might miss a few that were your favorites. You'll take care of that and let us know in email, of course. But this first segment we started with, and I think it's probably the most populated one, are food and drink commercials. Very obvious ones. And not all commercials were created equal back then, but some of them were super memorable and became part of pop culture. And I think that's the case with the first one we have on the list.
John, I think arguably the largest and most well-known commercial from the 1980s, specifically related to food and drink, has got to be the little old lady from Wendy's. And her biggest question, where's the beef?
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
At Wendy's, we serve a hamburger we modestly call a single. And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You want something better. You're Wendy's kind of people.
And that was not just one commercial. It was a campaign. Oh, like, there were a lot of Clarapeller ads.
It was a whole bunch of commercials. The odd thing is, the only one who gets credit is the lady saying, where's the beef? But the other two ladies contributed just as much to the commercial. It was just that line, where's the beef, was everywhere as soon as that commercial hit the air. It was on t-shirts and bumper stickers. People were using it as a colloquial term in other TV shows. It was everywhere. Where's the beef? Where's the beef? It meant so many different things to so many people based off of one commercial. And I would argue it moved Wendy's past Burger King in the hamburger wars at that stage, because Burger King and McDonald's were the top two. McDonald's obviously number one forever. Yep. Burger King number two. I think this moved Wendy's into the number two spot for me back then.
I mean, I remember they even had the Where's the Beef lady on like talk shows. And what is she going to talk about?
And I saw it. Now that you mentioned that, I saw a few of those guest spots, and you got a great point. She had nothing to talk about. She must have been 80 years old. Listen, this is 1980s, 80 years old. Today, 80 looks very different. Some people look great at 80. This lady looked like an old lady. And what did you have to talk about? I was on a commercial. Do the thing. Where's the beef? Okay, coming up next, somebody else is on. Yeah.
Like Phil Donahue would probably do 60 minutes on her being on that commercial, and she didn't give a shit, right?
Yeah.
She would
have paid. Exactly. Meant nothing. Yeah. You're right. It was super pop culture-y, though. Everybody was using it. So
the one that popped in my head first when we started talking about food and drink is the one which they, this has been jokes through, and it was in Wayne's World. They did all the jokes on this thing, is the Grey Poupon commercial.
Oh, with the two limos. The two limos. Right.
Finer things in life. Happily, some are affordable, like Grey Poupon Dijon mustard. Grey Poupon is so fine, it's even made with white wine. Its original French Dijon recipe adds distinctive flavor to beef, pork, and poultry, salad dressing and sauces, and of course, sandwiches. So enjoy one of life's finer pleasures.
Pardon me, would you have any Grey Poupon?
There we go.
But of course.
Grey Poupon. It even has wine.
But of course. It's just such a... It's mustard.
It always got me. The guy who was doing the voiceover part of that commercial before you get to the two guys in the limos passing the mustard back and forth, he sounded like one of those guys who would be the trailer announcer guy on PBS.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Very sophisticated. Very refined. Right. Yes.
Oh. He always sounded to me like the guy from who did the De Beers diamond commercials. Like, he almost seems like he has that kind of voice too. Like,
Oh, sure.
A diamond is forever,
Right. Yep. And I don't even think, did you see the guys in the limos? The thing I focus on most was the shot from between the limos. Like if you're standing between them and the arm comes out, but of course,
right.
And he has the jar of Grey Poupon right there. What do you think he was eating in a limo that he needed mustard? I mean,
hot dog.
I don't know. Okay.
No, what? I thought they showed us. Didn't they show a sandwich in the commercial?
It was a very fancy sandwich, though.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I don't remember. Like a deli, like an upgraded deli sandwich type of thing, I think.
Okay. Which he could not eat because he had no Grey Poupon. I mean, come on.
No, of course.
Well, he'd run out. He'd run out. His butler had not stocked the limo, apparently, with the proper mustard. Anyway, well, on the topic of food and drink, the one that came to my mind right away was, again, back both of these, more than just one commercial, was a franchise, a series of commercials, a campaign or whatever you want to call it. And this was hyper 80s because it was full of neon and craziness. It was the Max Headroom character advertising.
Oh, yeah.
Coke versus Pepsi. Of course, he's talking about Pepsi as the P word. And it used Matt Frewer in that crazy makeup and that stuff. Here it is.
Hi, Max Headroom here with... This is my guest. I heard you were big time in the old pop biz. Well, I'm going to take that as a no comment. So, nitty-gritty time. What I'm talking about, and you're not, is that more people prefer the new refreshing taste of Coke over Pepsi. Sweating? It's true. More people are, as we Cokeologists say, catching the wave. Catch it if you can. Catch the wave. Coke.
It really relied on just, this guy is cool, he's talking about Coke, therefore you want Coke. And this one, it sounded like this one in particular was talking about the new Coke, because he said the new taste of Coke, which, well, he was wrong, it was not better, but he was a fascinating character.
So I know that everybody knows this commercial, but I wonder if most of the people out there know that this is not where Max Headroom got his start. I know a lot of people feel like it did because it was their first introduction to the character, but he actually started on a British, like 20-minute show about a journalist who had brain damage, and then they put him in AI and stuff. I mean, everybody who's a Max Headroom fan probably knows that now, but if you weren't and you just know the commercial, I find that really interesting that he wasn't even an American product to begin with.
Yeah, he just got co-opted by Coke, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because wasn't it something like the last thing he remembers is getting hit with a sign that said Max Headroom 20 feet or something like
exactly
that.
Right. Exactly right. Exactly. Yeah, in the garage. Yeah, so that's the last memory. So that became the name he went by. Exactly right.
Yeah.
But I would say, these commercials, though, they got your attention. Like every time they were on, you were, because his character was just so weird and jerky. It was just bizarre. You know,
all the stutter repeats and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, probably the antithesis of a Max Headroom character has to be the Dunkin' Donuts guy. If anybody remembers him from the 80s, and I'm not talking about your D&D stuff now where they're talking about the breakfast sandwiches or any of that bullshit. This is Dunkin' Donuts in its heyday. All they did was donuts, and the poor guy had to get up every morning just to make the donuts.
That's right.
Time to make the donuts. Dunkin' Donuts are always fresh. I made the donuts. We make them at least twice every day. Time to make the donuts. Not a few kinds, like supermarkets. Hey, donuts. Time to make the donuts. But up to 52 varieties. The donuts. Time to make the donuts. I made the donuts. Dunkin' Donuts. Up to 52 varieties, fresh day and night. No supermarket can say that.
That's the part that got me, was when he meets himself coming in and going out the door.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, time to make the donuts. I made the donuts. Go back to sleep, you dumb son of a bitch.
Time and space are warping. He's going to it so early every day.
I remember for years after this, anytime you had to get up super early, somebody had to say that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Somebody had to say that word.
Oh, like, yeah.
What is it? Oh, time to make the donuts.
I think my family would use that if it was time to go, like anywhere. Like we're getting together, getting in the car. It's like, come on, time to make the donuts. Let's go. Which to me always meant you weren't enthusiastic about where we were going, because that guy wasn't real jazzed about getting up that early and going. So it has kind of a negative connotation, but it's just fun because you picture that poor guy. Remind me of the Maytag repairman guy who was so put along because he never got to fix anything. He was so sad. But this Dunkin' Donuts guy, I don't know when they retired him, but he was fun.
He was on for a long time.
He was.
So this next commercial we're going to talk about is one that probably prompted our scientific curiosity, because we all had to find an answer to this question when this commercial came on.
Mr. Turtle, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
I never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl.
Mr. Owl, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
Let's find out. One, two, three. Three.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know.
We may never know.
Yeah, we tried to find out.
Yeah, no. I swear, I think the best word in that entire commercial is when he says two.
Is two?
Yeah, because everything else, you know, it's a little alliterative and sad and depressed in different places. But when he gets to the word two, he says two. He turns it into like a song almost.
I love the three. I thought you were going to say the three. Certainly.
The three plays off of the two. If you don't have the two first, you don't get the three.
This is the Star Wars prequel sequel thing. You don't have this movie without this movie, right? That's you don't right. have the three, but for there being a two. Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely spent a lot of time trying to count how many licks it took because it was just one of those things, and I never got the answer.
No.
It was typically not three, but eventually yeah, you would
three.
Eventually you would bite it and you would never find out.
Yes,
right. I remember reading an article that somebody like they figured it out, but there's so many variables.
Yeah.
Like the texture of your tongue, what flavor, mm-hmm. whether it was frozen or thawed, like all these things that could affect.
Totally uncover the Tootsie Pop Center or just reach it? I mean, come on.
Right, just it's all it's variables. It doesn't matter. You know what?
He says three. Reach in the commercial. So
let's say just say okay, three. Right. Yeah. Just call it three. That's all it is.
You know one thing that's a little bit easier to reach, and that's the bottom of the jar of your favorite summertime beverage. Mm-hmm. And that man who delivered that beverage to you was the Kool-Aid man in the classic Kool-Aid commercials.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Kool-Aid!
Oh, yeah. Kool-Aid here, bringing you fun. Kool-Aid.
I always thought when I was a kid that this was cool and I would say, hey, Kool-Aid, nobody would ever fucking come running through my wall. But I wondered as I got older, like how many insurance claims did this guy cause?
Yeah.
Because he was breaking down every barrier in front of him. It didn't matter. He could be outside. There's a wall with no other walls around it. And instead of just walking around, this sumbitch would go right through the middle of the wall, break it apart, ruin everybody's picnic. He was terrible.
Yeah.
I remember they use this a lot in like Family Guy uses this gag a lot. Like I remember one time Peter was in court and about to be sentenced to do prison time. And he went, hey, Kool-Aid. And he busted through the wall and they escaped out of the hole that he made.
Funny.
Because especially like the Where's the Beef thing we talked about earlier, it became bigger than the ad. It was more pop culture-y. The hey, Kool-Aid. Not that everyone ever expected a giant anthropomorphized jar of Kool-Aid to smash through the wall. But that you pictured it in your head when somebody said it, at least you knew it was what they meant. I mean,
it's even in Rocky Horror Picture Show. If you go to watch one of the screenings and you have the audience shouting the lines out at screen, mm-hmm. there's really? A part where the guy breaks through the wall and everybody in the audience shouts out, hey, Kool-Aid. And he yeah. busts through the wall right there. Yeah.
Who knew? Okay. So I have one that has become a huge beyond the commercial has become part of pop culture. And that is Little Mikey for Life cereal. How the thing Mikey likes it. Mikey likes it. There's a story about how he died and all that is urban myth. But the actual commercial, I probably saw every cartoon I watched had this Life cereal commercial with two kids trying to get this younger kid to find out if this cereal was any good or not.
What's this stuff? Some cereal. It's supposed to be good for you. Did you try it?
I'm not going to try it. You try it.
I'm not going to try it.
I'm not going to try it.
Let's get Mikey.
Yeah. He won't need it. He hates everything.
He likes it! Hey, Mikey!
When you bring Life home, don't tell the kids it's one of those nutritional cereals you've been trying to get them to eat. You're the only one who has to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, didn't they think that he died from the Pop Rocks
yes,
Pepsi
yeah,
thing or
Pop
something?
Pop Rocks and soda, right. Now, I could tell you that I never really understood what these kids were saying because they didn't articulate well. But I remember misunderstanding. He won't eat it. He eats everything is what I thought they were saying.
Actually, I thought that for years, too.
But it makes way more sense what these kids trying to say is, and I'm guessing that was the 80th take and they're like, that's the best it's going to get. He won't eat it. He hates everything right. is what they're right. saying there. Therefore, mm-hmm. he won't. That's why they're so surprised when he liked it. Because here's a kid who's picky, doesn't like anything. he loves Life cereal. So,
well, plus the look on his face in the commercial, like before he bites into that cereal, he's just the crankiest looking little bastard.
yeah.
You could ever have on set.
Ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just, but even in remember the first Matrix when the Neo gets first like the downloaded stuff, like knowledge, and the guy looks at him and he says, "Hey, I think he likes it." I was like, "Oh my God, they even remembered it in the future."
Yeah. Okay. I guess that was a connected thing. I thought of
that. They were doing a lot of head-to-head competitions in commercials back then, Coke and Pepsi and all this stuff. Mm. But this is when it's a product competed against itself in a way.
All right, we're up 15. We got this game won.
Yeah, you get to buy the light beer from Miller.
Yeah.
Nice belly.
One out to go. Yeah, what can he do to his mouth?
Hey, I'll keep the change.
Rodney!
Tastes great. Less filling.
But this is like a whole series they did of these things. You know, tastes great. Less filling is always like a competition. There's two boxers or two softball teams. There's always something. Mm-hmm. And one represented one side, one represented the other side. You know,
I always felt like this commercial ended up being the tail wagging the dog because nobody knew or cared what beer they were talking about. It wasn't the name of it in there. No matter what, people would go, tastes great. Less filling. Tastes great. Nobody was like saying, therefore, I must drink Miller Lite. It didn't even register with me. Like Wendy's, I knew Wendy's was about where's the beef somehow. But this one was just two sets of crowds yelling at each other, and it was just fun.
I mean, it was, but I'll say that in the 80s, even though I understand I don't drink beer, so I have to just, you know, take people's words for it. I understand it's a really terrible tasting beer, but Miller Lite was arguably the best advertised beer at the time. You look at their commercials when they go back, and one of their commercials is listed later on in one of our segments as one of my favorites of all time. They had some really great advertising writers doing their stuff. Because if you think about it now, I'm not talking about the 90s when you start getting into the What's Up and the Bud Frogs and all that. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about in the 80s. Miller Lite was by far the standout for beer commercials. They had the best writers. They had good celebrities in them. They were funny. They were catchy. You remembered them. I think they were the best beer commercials going back then.
Well, okay.
Yep. Well, yeah, I think so too.
Though they certainly had some variety and they had memorable stuff. So you can't ding them for that.
Yeah. Now, another product that also had something that was long in your memory and probably still is today because it's even been in Stranger Things, and that's the Eggo Waffle with their Lego My Eggo commercials.
Oh.
Hey, Lego My Eggo.
Lego My Eggo, Jessica.
Light golden Eggo waffles taste so good, it's not always easy to get your hands on one. So sometimes you have to improvise.
Eggo My Eggo, please.
Eggo Waffles from Kellogg's.
Now, in all truthfulness, those products, they're terrible. If you've ever eaten an Eggo waffle, they are not waffles. Good.
Oh, my God,
they're not good at all. They're soggy. They don't come out of that toaster. Well, I don't care how expensive of a Grey Poupon toaster you might have. They're not coming out good out of that thing. They're just terrible compared to a waffle you would get at a restaurant or one you would make yourself from scratch. But
by far,
that commercial arguably has kept that brand going for 40 years now.
Mm, there goes our Kellogg sponsorship. Thanks, George. Well done. Well, and it encouraged siblings to steal from one another, too, which I always thought was odd for a commercial today, but whatever.
In a way, though, it's kind of brilliant, though, because it's almost saying, like, you got to be the one to get it, right? So,
They're coveted.
So it was like making kids like, you got to be the one to get it over everybody else in your family. You got to get this stupid, nasty, soggy waffle.
When you put it like that, I can't resist.
So the last one we're going to talk about in this segment was one that was just, it had to be one of the most like almost tear jerk kind of commercial series that they did back then. It was the Folgers coffee when Peter comes home for Christmas.
Oh.
Thanks a lot. Merry Christmas.
I can see it.
Hmm.
How you doing?
Best wishes for this and all your mornings from Folgers.
I mean, come on. Kid comes home from someplace and he wakes everybody up by making Folgers coffee and the aroma, which I don't remember any instant coffee having that good of an aroma. But Folgers coffee aroma waking up everyone in the house and they're all surprised. I mean, you know.
It's kind of a tearjerker, though. It was a sweet commercial. Yeah.
I mean, so I don't remember this commercial. So for me, I don't hold a special place in my heart. But I'll say for our listeners who are hearing the podcast after we record this, we're not watching these commercials, we're listening to the audio only. That commercial sounds really disturbing audio only. If you don't have the visuals in your head,
I can see that
from remembering it, there's a lot of creepiness going on there without the visuals.
Right, you're home. Shh, let's go to the kitchen. Right,
and then there's like some gulping sounds and some ooh ah, and I'm like, what the
you're
hell
home
is going on?
She's like sniffing.
Yeah. right. Yes, it is a sweet commercial, I promise. And look, there's a link in the description. If you want to shake the image that George has put in your head, you can go watch the actual commercial. Yeah. If you don't remember it. But yeah, it's a holiday commercial, too. It usually played around the holidays because it was that homecoming kind of thing, too. OK. A lot of good food based commercials. When we get back, we're going to go look at some products that had some pretty memorable commercials. Stick around.
Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show, too. It helps more than you know.
This next group of commercials are going to be basically toys and stuff, you know, just stuff that they advertise, and there's a lot of it. So, George, you want to kick us off with the first stuff?
Yeah. So the reason why I picked this commercial, A, number one, it's one of the classic toy commercials of all time. Number two, it was just recently on an episode of that Toys That Built America, and they talked specifically about this commercial in that and how it propelled the game moving forward, and that's the Connect Four commercial.
The name of the game is Connect Four.
Gotcha. Four cross. One more game.
Object, connect four of your checkers in a row while preventing your opponent from doing the same. But look out. Your opponent can sneak up on you and win the game.
I won.
Where? I can't.
Here, diagonally.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
Connect Four, the vertical checkers game from Milton Bradley.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
Brilliant commercial. You got kids, they've got real skin in the game, you know, they're desperately trying to win, and the girl, she just sneaks up and beats him with the diagonal, and it's the move that we all learned as kids. We all tried to replicate that commercial when we played Connect Four with our friends after that, and then I think the best part of the commercial, besides the pretty sneaky sis line, is just neither one of them reach over there in the visual of the commercial to flip the little thing to let the checkers fall out. It just happens automatically. But that sound of those checkers hitting that wooden table. Oh, God, that brings back so many childhood memories of that noise.
Yeah, and that special you're talking about, George, they said that he wanted that sound. He wanted that falling thing afterwards that, you know, because he knew that would just turn kids onto it.
It's like that sound. It's kind of like, you know, we're all poker players, and like the sound of like riffling chips together just has a certain clickety clickety sound, or like moving Legos around, looking for the right piece. That has a signature sound that you just can't replicate with anything else, but it brings back the whole experience of childhood and playing the game. Yeah. Connect Four, a great one. One that was a little more creepier though, that I kind of enjoyed. So we had dolls, and then we had electronics, and then we got into the 80s when they tried to put electronics in everything. And so we had the doll that would try, the teddy bear that would try to tell you stories, Teddy Ruxpin. And those commercials I thought were something.
You were something.
Show and tell time.
Another teddy bear?
My teddy's name is Teddy Ruxpin. He talks, he tells stories.
Four bachelors not included.
Hi, my name is Teddy Ruxpin.
There he is.
Can you and I be friends? I really enjoy talking to people. I would like you.
Teddy Ruxpin, the storytelling bear, comes with illustrated book and cassette from Worlds of Wonder.
So I have a confession to make.
You had a Teddy Ruxpin. Okay.
I was far too old when this doll came out to need it. I think it was probably 14 or 15 or something like that. But I desperately wanted a goddamn Teddy Ruxpin and never got one. I always wanted that thing, but I was too old. I could never go in a store and buy it or anything. Not like I had a younger brother or sister that I could say, oh, I bought this for them. Yeah. No. Oh, I wanted one of those things so bad. Still to this day, I want a Teddy Ruxpin.
So have you ever even like played with one? Seen one? Nope. Maybe seen one, right? No?
I've seen them in the commercial. That's as close as I've gotten.
I see them at toy shows every once in a while in different states of repair. And I think like you put the tape in his back, I think is where you put it. And then you pull down his little vest. Yep. And all it was the tape was stereo and they put sound on one track and they put a digital thing on the other track that said when to open the mouth and how fast and at what rate. Mm-hmm. So if you put in a radar tape player, you'd hear like this like clicking and noises that were just telling the mouth to open. And maybe even his eyes would blink or something.
They would go left, right, or blink or something like that.
Yeah, they would do stuff. And so it was really just a doll that was programmed like a showbiz or Chuck E. Cheese doll. Yeah, it was a little animatronic for a kid in his house, which is really cool. Did you ever have a Teddy Ruxpin, Mo?
Never.
You had a big family, a lot of kids. No Teddy Ruxpin?
No Teddy Ruxpins around.
No.
I think that's the kind of thing my dad would look at and be like, no.
No. Yeah, you got brothers. Have them read to you. You don't need a doll for that. Fair enough.
Oh, okay. This next commercial, just thinking about it cracks me up, you know, because just play it because everyone will know as soon as they hear
it.
All right. Clap on. Clap on. Clap on, clap off, clapper.
Let you turn things on or off from anywhere in the room. Just plug in the clapper and a television, lamp, stereo, almost anything you want to clap on and off.
Clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off, clap clapper.
Clapper is available at Meijer, Perry, Hills, and Oxford.
Okay, so I have a confession. No, I'm just kidding.
Another confession? Okay.
No. But you have to admit, this is probably one of the catchiest jingles of commercials of that era. Like, I can still sing that song in my sleep. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to remember. It's so catchy. To it. Yeah. Clap on, clap off the clapper. It's just a little rhythm. Yeah.
And the genius is the song literally gives you the instructions for how the thing works and what it does.
Yeah.
What does it do? It claps on, dummy. And then you can turn it off, too. I mean, you literally have learned how it works before you even bought it. And now you want it. Yep.
It's so funny to see it in like pop culture as well. Like there's a movie called Accepted with I can't remember his name, the young guy who's in all kinds of stuff. Well, he's not young anymore, but he's got a clap on disco ball in his dorm room. And so he turns it on when the girl comes into the scene and he's like, there's nothing classier than a clap on disco ball.
I sort of, these commercials just, they were never on like the network. Like these are always on the other stations, you know, that play these or late at night, maybe on a network. Like they were never, this was never like a prime time commercial. I've never known somebody who had one and I've never owned one. And I always wonder who bought these things.
Well, and they were in five and dime stores. They were budget products, which is probably why they weren't on network shows because that was expensive advertising. They were on local commercials and they just bought advertising.
I think they were really big in Walmarts, like on that aisle where the as seen on TV kind of stuff would be. Walmart sold those things. Like I always saw them during that era in Walmart.
Yeah. And I don't know if I ever owned one, but I definitely knew somebody who did. And as soon as I found out they had them, I'm like, let's try it. And they were well and thoroughly sick of it by the time I saw it. So like, go ahead, do the thing. Yes, it works. Now, you know, move on. Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. Another item that's probably in the as seen on TV aisle. And this blew up into a major line of products, but it started with one little clay pot that you put some seeds on.
There's a new pet.
Chia.
Chia Pet, the pottery that grows. It's fun and easy. Soak your chia, spread the seeds. keep it watered, and watch it grow. And now grow a whole collection of fun with Chia teddy bears. Puppies, kittens, rams, bulls. There's even a Chia tree to keep your pets company. Chia Pets and Trees, the pottery that grows.
The Chia Pet and Chia Tree are available at Kmart, Rite Aid, Ames, and Woolworth. Makes a great gift.
Yeah, when we just talked about the clapper, where it gave you the instructions, now they just put the name of the product right in the song.
Yeah.
Cha-cha-cha-chia. Yeah. And so what's it called? You know, you're not going to forget because you have that song.
Yeah. And these things are just, this is a bizarre concept to me. I mean, it's like, you buy a clay pot sheep, you spread this thing on it.
You're like a paste.
Fill it with water. And then it looks like a big green horror sheep at the end. I mean, it doesn't look like a sheep anymore. You see the one that actually is like somebody's hair? Like,
oh, yeah.
Bob Ross. And the hair.
It's a Bob Ross head.
Yeah.
Because he has the big fro. Yeah. I had a Chia Pet. Never had one of the crazy Bob Ross or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I always imagined that would be fun to trim like a bonsai tree into different, you know, hairstyles for a guy. Did you guys ever have a Chia Pet? Did you ever try it?
I did not. I kind of always wanted one, but I never had one. I still kind of want one, but I don't know that I'm attentive enough to keep it from dying.
That's the beauty of it, is, as Mo was saying, it's a clay thing that's hollow, and they rely upon how clay seeps water. And so it kind of waters itself gradually. So as long as you keep water in the pot and it's not empty, it kind of, what do we call it, vascular or whatever, you know, capillary action. It's sucking the water from the middle, soaking the clay. So the clay itself is rich with water. So I don't know that
I would keep the pot full.
No, even that you wouldn't handle. Okay.
Yeah, I'm probably. But you know what I am attentive enough to do? Mm. And that's, if I fall down and break a hip, I'm attentive enough to push a button.
If the button's next to you.
Recently, when I became deathly ill, I was able to summon an ambulance, my next door neighbor, my family, and my doctor without picking up a telephone. I used this remote control to contact Life Call, my 24-hour emergency medical response service. Watch. You just press this button and speak into the air and...
I'm having chest pain!
I'm calling paramedics and your family, Mr. Miller.
I've fallen, and I can't get up!
We're sending help immediately, Mrs. Fletcher.
See? Protect yourself with Life Call, and you're never alone. To get complete free information by mail about this affordable medical emergency response system, call toll-free now. Life Call can save your life, so call to get free details by mail right away.
I think it's funny that throughout the entire run of that commercial and the part of the zeitgeist pulp culture that it inhabits, nobody ever remembers the poor sumbitch that had the heart attack. They only remember the grandma that broke her hip. That's the only one that anybody remembers. And that's the one that comedians keyed on for months and years later. It was always, and it's so ubiquitous now with that industry that even like systems that you put in your house today for security, like Safe Touch is the security system we have in the Southeast here. It's one of the popular brands. They have a life alert product type of thing that is part of their service because people recognize this is something I need for the old people in my life or their lives. Mm-hmm. And it solved a real problem.
It did, certainly.
But it also became like a joke in a way. It was crazy.
Oh, it definitely did. Yeah, for sure.
We were laughing listening to it, and the guy's having a heart attack.
Right.
And the poor lady fell down, but all we could do is chuckle because it became a punchline.
Well, also, they just were like the worst actors ever.
Sure.
Let's not forget that. It's not like they were like Shakespearean having a heart attack on stage here. It was, you're like, the guy's like, he laying on the ground. It is just ridiculous. Come on.
Actually, the operator was the best actor. I'm sending help right away, Mr. Johnson. Exactly. Whatever his name is. He was okay. It was everybody else overacting that was really
right.
Probably is what made it a punchline because it was just so overacted. Okay, one more in this. We said we're looking at toys and stuff, Mo. So in your criteria, I just picked what for me is one of the most iconic toy commercials of all. It's the commercial for all the toys with little Jeffrey the Giraffe.
I don't want to grow up, buy Toys R Us. Get. They got a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with. I don't want to grow up.
I'm a Toys R Us kid.
They got the best for so much less.
You'll really flip your lid.
From bikes to trains to video games.
It's the biggest toy store there is. Gee whiz!
I don't want to grow up, cause baby, if I did,
I couldn't be a Toys R Us kid.
Once a Toys R Us kid,
always.
always a Toys R Us kid.
Oh, it makes me all the more lament the passing of Toys R Us. I mean, it's effectively gone. I mean, they're little kiosks that pop up.
And I know they're coming back, aren't they? Aren't they coming up again?
Yeah,
or something?
But only a shadow, like in airports, you know, where kids like to shop for toys in airports.
Oh, of course. I mean, to show you how popular this commercial was, I mean, the one we listened to was they brought the original kids back 14 years later. I mean, that's how much nostalgia there was for this one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for me, it always bothered me that they played these commercials in localities that didn't have Toys R Us stores. This commercial was on during freaking like G.I. Joe afternoons and Thundercats and all that bullshit, and didn't have a single Toys R Us store within 100-mile drive of where I live. Pissed me off like you wouldn't believe. Oh, I hated that commercial. Hated it. Still hate it.
Oh, you hate the commercial? As sweet as it is? Oh, that's just
a super sweet commercial. They did that shit on purpose just to mess with my little 12-year-old mind. That's some bullshit.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at genxgrownup.com.
You know, we've talked an awful lot about how some of the people that have been in the commercials we've discussed became popular or minor celebrities in their own right, like Mikey with Life Cereal. Mm-hmm. Right. But there's something to be said for the people who became super juggernaut celebrities either before or after their commercial fame. Most of them after, but some of them before.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And celebrities in commercials is a tried and true tradition for years. Mo, why don't you get us started with your first one?
Yeah. I mean, this one would be normally a pretty unremarkable commercial, I think, if it wasn't for the fact that Jason Alexander was the guy in this commercial.
See, you're getting tired of lettuce and tomato hamburgers in this town that don't quite make it?
Yeah!
You say that just once you'd like your hamburger hot and your lettuce and tomato cool and crisp all at the same time?
Yeah!
Well, I say, you got it. I'm talking McDonald's new lettuce and tomato hamburger, the McDLT.
I'm talking quarter pound of beef on the hot, hot side.
And the hot stays hot.
The new McDLT.
Hot, hot.
Crisp lettuce and tomato on the cool, cool side.
And the cool stays cool.
The new McDLT.
Cool crisp.
The beef stays hot. The cool stays crisp. Put it together, you can't resist. The hottest taste, the coolest dish.
Keep the hot, hot. Keep the cool, cool. McDLT. McDLT. Hot beefy McD. Cool crisp LT. McD. LT.
It's a good time.
Hot beefy McD.
For the great taste.
Cool crisp LT.
Of McDonald's. Could be the best tasting lettuce and tomato hamburger ever.
New McD.
Wasn't the McDLT the most ridiculous sandwich ever to come out of McDonald's? Because
they
put the hot side on one, put the cold side on the other, and then they put it under the heat lamp. So the whole thing just got hot anyway, unless you handed it straight from the kitchen to the people. And it didn't change the taste of the sandwich.
No.
You know, he's like, it's irresistible now that it's like this. It's the same sandwich.
Yes.
And as soon as they had to get rid of styrofoam for all the environmental concerns, that was sandwich gone. Went out the window in a hurry.
Yep.
Yeah. Plus, you're building your own food. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I made it myself, right? What is this?
What did I pay fondue? My 75 cents for, damn it? That's your job.
It's one of those commercials. I wonder, I mean, I'm sure he looks back and be like, hey, I got paid. But after like, Seinfeld and all this other stuff he's done, just looking at it just cracks me up because I'm like, oh, my God, that's the guy from Seinfeld.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. When Jason Alexander did that commercial, he wasn't Jason Alexander, a name. He was a guy who was a working actor. This next one, this is Michael J. Fox, and he was already a name. He was a huge name.
Massive.
When Pepsi got a hold of him for their Diet Pepsi campaign. Listen.
Hi, I just moved in next door. Could I borrow a Diet Pepsi?
Sure. Come in.
Yo,
Yes. How about something else?
Listen, if you don't have a diet Pepsi,
I got it.
Chasing down a dream, turning up my engine.
Here's your Diet Pepsi.
That must be my roommate, Danny.
Danny?
Hi, I'm Danielle. You got another Diet Pepsi?
Sure.
Diet Pepsi is the choice of a new generation.
So I just got a question. Did Kenny Loggins score this goddamn commercial?
Sounds like it,
sounds
doesn't
like
it?
It, doesn't it?
It absolutely
like
sounds like it.
Top Gun or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very visual commercial. What you can't see if you're listening to it and you haven't heard, it's not as creepy as George made out the Folgers commercial. But yeah. This attractive woman has moved in and asked for Diet Pepsi. He doesn't have any. So he runs out the back door to go get one. And for some reason, he just brings back one. So when the roommate wants one, he's got to head off again was the premise of it.
This is also interesting because it was Michael J. Fox playing Michael J. Fox, too. It wasn't he was a character, you know, like it was him, which was made even more probably because this was right after Back to the Future and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. This time,
Back to the Future was 85. This is 87. Back to the
second
Future
movie came
82.
Out by that point.
Those had Pepsi tie ins.
Oh,
so
big time.
Maybe that's why he
got
the commercial.
That makes sense. That's why, yeah. That might have been part of the arrangement. Like, hey, we're going to be in this film, and then plus we're going to get Fox to do this other thing for us. It could have been a package deal for all I know.
Well, so we talk about people who became celebrities later, people who were celebrities when they did the commercial. Here's a guy who is kind of in both worlds. So he had one breakout film that he was in earlier. He'd been in other movies, but one that was really big. And then this commercial cemented him, in my mind, as a celebrity that got him future work later on. And that's Jeffrey Holder with 7-Up.
Oh, yeah. There's something very special about the taste of 7-Up that's unlike any other soft drink. Maybe because 7-Up has no artificial flavor and no artificial color. Never had it. Never will. And no caffeine. Never had it. Never will. Whatever it is that makes 7-Up so refreshingly different from other soft drinks. Never had it. Ha ha ha. Never will.
Yeah.
That's the best part. His laughs in the commercial that punctuated the end of them. Oh, my God. They were so great every time. And, you know, he ended up in movies later on with like Eddie Murphy. And he did some stuff with some John Grisham movies and whatnot. It was weird. But the movie that really kind of brought him to American audiences was a James Bond film, Live and Let Die.
Oh, I was trying to picture where I'd seen him. There we go.
Me and my dad were going somewhere in New York and we saw him walking down the street. And this is really New York. Yeah. He had on a full length fur coat, top to bottom. Mm. And my dad looks at him. He says, you know what? That's the only man who get away with that coat. Because he was super tall.
Yeah. he was a great character and he was perfect in those commercials. And they ran those commercials for, I don't know, the better part of that decade.
Yeah.
And
he was supposed
it really put 7-Up in prominence because 7-Up was certainly the bottom rung of the soda wars at that point. You had Coke and Pepsi, like we already talked about, but 7-Up was not even close to them until Jeffrey Holder laughed for him.
And that slogan, never had it, never will, that became one of those things that people used to mean other things sometimes just because they were referring back to the 7-Up ad with him.
So, and you talk about people who were famous and became famous. Okay, Vincent Price, everybody knows who he is, right? Knows who he was.
Sure.
85, he wasn't doing a ton of work, but he was doing some work, right? Of all products, of all the products in the world that you would say, I want Vincent Price to be my spokesperson for, this is for, he did a wine cooler commercial. And for people, again, check the links and see this. He does the whole beginning in a bear costume. You can't even see him.
Wow.
And he doesn't, and it's not until the end that he takes off the mask.
I used to be frightened by all the wine coolers I saw. I was scared I wouldn't pick the right one. Luckily, I did. It was the most refreshing one of them all. Sun Country Wine Cooler. You see, Sun Country is a blend of premium white wine and real fruit juice. That's what gives it its great taste. Sun Country, say, give me the real juice cooler. If you don't say Sun Country, you'd better sleep with your lights on.
Okay, so Of all the wine cooler commercials we have in the list, why do we not have Bartles and James? They are far superior in commercial wine cooler world than Vincent Price in Sun Country. I guess because he's the celebrity, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's Vincent Price. And just the fact that they got Vincent Price to advertise for a wine cooler. I mean, how that's almost absurd.
And they made it creepy somehow with the organ music, you know, wine coolers.
But that shows you how good or bad those guys who write the commercials can be, right? Because Bartles and James, those guys had no personalities whatsoever. But you remember those Bartles and James commercials a hell of a lot more than most people will remember this Sun Country wine cooler with arguably the greatest horror acting legend of all time, Vincent Price.
In a bear suit.
In a bear suit.
And also just, you know, wine coolers. I mean, oh my God. But that's a whole other topic. That's a whole other podcast.
Just in general. Welcome to the wine coolers backtrack, everyone.
Oh, we could definitely do a weird drinks from them.
Okay. Oh, no kidding. No kidding. All right. I have one more of the celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely one who was not a celebrity at the time, but has become a huge celebrity. After my own heart, too. This was an Activision commercial for David Crane's Pitfall, starring none other than a young, I think he was 10 or 11 years old, Jack Black, believe it or not.
Just last night, I was lost in the jungle with Pitfall Harry, surrounded by giant scorpions and man-eating crocodiles.
Well, Harry and I just grabbed the van, swung through the trees and over the tar pits and found the jungle treasure. It was really neat.
If you haven't met Pitfall Harry, you're missing the year's most incredible video game adventure. Pitfall for the Atari 2600 and Intellivision.
Since I met Pitfall Harry, no other man will do.
Pitfall, designed by David Crane for Activision.
I remember the first time someone said, hey, have you seen the Pitfall commercial with Jack Black? I thought it must be one of the modern, like, Super Nintendo reimaginings of Pitfall. They got Jack Black in. I didn't realize this was like a child actor, Jack Black. So, you know, you sometimes forget these guys like Jason Alexander we just saw. He wasn't always a big name. He was a working actor. Right. And this was Jack Black starting out. And he's good in this. He's not very Jack Black-y, if you know what I mean. Like, he's not over the top and crazy. He's just a really good, articulate child actor. Unlike stupid the Mikey commercial. Mikey won't like you, blah, blah, mumble, mumble. This was like a really good performance in just a little Atari commercial. I thought was really cool.
I say, it just looks like a miniature Jack Black, though. He looks exactly the same.
He looks the same because he has little pudgy cheeks because he's young, just like Jack Black, who has little pudgy cheeks now. Perfect.
I just don't understand how this commercial came out in 1983 and didn't prevent the game crash that we talked about.
It could have saved it could have saved it.
How did Jack Black not save video games?
Right. Yes.
Well, he did. It just took a few years to pick up. That's all.
There you go.
Yeah. One more segment. When we get back, we're each going to pick what is, you know, maybe our favorite or most memorable commercial or campaign from the 80s. We'll each pick one and share it with you. That'll be right after this quick break.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
So we're going to wrap this up with
what
we pick as our favorite, most memorable, nostalgic, whatever you want to call it, right? The one, our choice for what we want to talk about for this last segment. And let's kick it off to you, John. Which commercial did you pick?
Well, what you didn't hear is in the commercial break, George was just roasting me for having the most boring of favorite commercials. Therefore, I'm going first of because it's a buildup to the, of the three, the way to backpedal it.
No,
George, you're not wrong. It's a boring commercial at its face. I loved the Zest soap campaign for a few reasons. First, I think the song was super catchy, which I'm going to play in a second. But also, picture it as you're watching this, is that so often in these Zest soap commercials, you got to see a fully lathered young lady just wiping suds off of her. And you're like, oh, am I going to see something? I'm going to see something. You never did. But I felt like maybe I might next time. So.
Never felt this clean as now.
Zest. Fully clean,
exhilarated, wow.
You're not fully clean.
successfully clean.
Soap leaves a sticky film on you, but Zest is not soap. So Zest rinses clean away. Leaves no sticky film like soap does.
Zestfully clean.
Okay, so how telling is it that John remembers the scantily foamed up female in the shower, and I only remember the guy? I only remember the Zest commercials with guys in the shower. Something is wrong with my brain, I guess, but that's all I don't remember the ladies in the commercials. Hey,
whatever does it for you, I don't mind. It's okay.
I don't judge. Okay, who uses a soap that leaves a sticky residue?
Everybody that doesn't use Zest.
A sticky residue. Oh, I got out of the shower and I still feel sticky.
I mean, I loved how they proved it, though. They like did the two fingers down the glass with the squeak sound. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was the campaign that I liked. It's just so memorable. I mean, I'm being a little glib and tongue in cheek about it, but I think that jingle was really great. It was really kind of jazzy, and you didn't forget. Even if I didn't use Zest, which I don't, I use Irish Spring. Strong enough for a man, but I like it too when he carves it with his.
Right.
But Zest was the song that I thought was, it's just a catchy jingle. And so that was my pick. So George, since you've crapped all over my Zest soap. Mm-hmm. What do you got for your favorite, your most memorable?
Well, for my favorite, it's number one out of the three that we picked for me. But I, okay. I recognize that Moe's is arguably number one for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But we talked earlier about Miller Lite and how they had some really smart people writing their commercials. Well, oh, yeah. In this particular case, they not only had smart people writing the commercials, they had the best ad libber of the day in this commercial in Bob Uecker.
You know, one of the best things about being an ex-big leaguer is getting freebies to the game. Call the front office, bingo. And once these fans recognize me, I probably won't even have to pay for my light beer from Miller.
Down it, crap!
I love them. These fans know I drink light because it's less filling and it tastes great. Good seats, huh?
You're in the wrong seat, buddy. Come on.
Oh, I must be in the front row. Come on.
Light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer and less.
Good seats, hey, buddy. He missed the tag.
He missed the tag. It's so good.
Oh, my God.
For years, I have quoted that commercial in specific situations. Number one, I must be in the front row every time, yes. You know, you're I at one of those special gatherings or something and you have to move. But number two, the one that I use the most is when I'm driving and some idiot doesn't use his turn signal. For some reason, I always pictured that he was going to tag the car in front of him or behind him. Mm. And that line, he missed the tag when he's way up in the nosebleed seats and he can see that the guy missed the tag at second base. Oh, I love that. I would just shout it out. People would look at me like I was stupid because they arguably didn't have the same connection to a baseball beer commercial that I did.
Oh yeah.
But Bob Uecker is the absolute legend of the 80s. We talked about him in the movie Major League.
Oh yeah.
And this was right in the height of his commercial success.
Great. I just love these commercials to how oblivious he was to everybody else around him. That was going to just crack me up so much.
Love
that he
me.
Just
down in front.
He's like laughing. Like,
they don't give a damn about him, right?
Kidders.
Now, we had to pick commercials from when Gen X, when we were younger. Otherwise, I arguably would have picked the Darth Vader car commercial, the Darth Vader kid car commercial.
Oh, recent. That was like 20 years ago. Yeah.
I'd have picked that. That's my favorite commercial of all time. But Bob Uecker gets it for back then.
That's a great one.
Mo, go ahead and hit us with the best commercial of that era. No question.
This one to me just brings back memories because it's basically the Coca-Cola Christmas commercial of 1977. Because back then they really didn't start Christmas commercials to after Thanksgiving. Like they didn't like not like now where you get them like after Easter or something. You know, it's and so I remember like when you started hearing this commercial on, you knew Christmas was coming up really soon.
Teach the world to sing.
To me,
powerful.
The brilliance of this is they came with a song that talks about Coke, but you don't realize it.
Yeah, right.
You know, it just sounds like a nice Christmas song.
I mean, you think about this commercial. It's arguably the only one on our list that they did a second commercial of it later on with the same people. I know the Toys R Us had the kid back, but they brought back all of those people like 20 or 30 years later to redo the same commercial in the touching. Same format.
It was so nice.
Yeah.
It's also the only one I know that's had a retrospective kind of a news documentary thing done about it, about how they created the commercial, who wrote the song, all the stuff going around about it. It, as far as commercials go, I don't know that there is a, everybody talks about Apple from the Super Bowl commercial in 1980 being the greatest commercial. No. I think this is the greatest commercial of all time.
I would tend to agree with you. I think it's probably the one of the most recognizable, and it was, it showed the beginning of Coke figuring out how to use advertising in a way that wasn't overt and made you love the brand, not want to shop for the brand. You just identify with Coke because Coke is good for the world, not good for me because it's not. It's acidic, sugary crap, right? But it's good for the world, and the big polar bears love it, and Santa loves it, right?
And Santa loves it.
Yeah.
Oh, and they did it in different languages. Later on.
I mean, localized it.
Just brilliant. They made a whole thing. Like, it's almost like its own TV show or movie, and it's just a commercial.
Yep.
Yeah. You win, Mo. That's the best pick for sure.
Yeah.
That's
but George, yours is definitely second.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, John's, well, he could have been Irish Spring. I don't know why I picked Zest.
Thanks for reminding me that mine was last. On that note, that's going to wrap up this backtrack about Gen X era commercials. Look, if any of these resonated with you, they brought back some cool memories, please let us know. Hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. Look, it's a brand new year. We have a whole another year of great episodes coming your way in the new year. You know why? It's because of the generous support of patrons like John F., who is a brand new supporter of Gen X Grownup. Cool. Thank you, John. Thank you so much for your generosity. What he did is he headed over to patreon.com/GenXGrownup, clicked on a few buttons, got out his credit card and said, I would like to put in a regular, small, monthly contribution to Gen X Grownup to help keep the lights on and keep us doing what we do. So John, thank you. And to all of the other amazing patrons in growing numbers who support us, we're so grateful that you do that. It means the world to us, and you're what keeps the lights on, as we've said. So that's going to wrap it up for this backtrack edition of the show. Don't worry, though. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another one. Next week is a standard edition of our show. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here, man.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you.
Always fun, man.
Fourth listener, it's you, though, we all appreciate most of all. We can't wait to talk to you again next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. Watching shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be
french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. All right, so, John, you've got Taco Bell there. I'm going to say that we probably shouldn't have that one on the list because that's when you were 27. That's not a youth commercial.
When it was 27?
It was 97.
Okay. Yeah.
We have more than enough here. I'll kill it. That's fine. Here, I'll bring a Max Headroom up. Here we go.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dean Archipotis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dean Archipotis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at whiskeybusinesspod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.